Welcome back, community. Order of Battle is a conversation between Jason and Joel about toy collecting, predominantly G.I. Joe, but not only. We enjoy sharing our journey and learning more of the community and lifestyle of toy collecting. Thanks for joining us. After about an hour of threatening each other to start recording, and we're a week and a half late in a two-week schedule of sitting down to record for a myriad of reasons, a lot has been going on. Obviously, PulseCon happened, well, a week ago now. Before we get into that, A has rejoined us this week. I have not heard what he's recorded yet, so at a certain point, we'll kick it to him. I've had a ton going on. I know you've had a ton going on. Hit me with the good stuff.
I've been working like a maniac again, trying to bounce back from Joe Fest. Some of my trying to rebuild my fun money into actual real life things, which happens now and then, but
that's always the worst.
It hurts way worse when I have to open up my envelope and pay for real life things instead of collectibles.
I have one of those coming up next week, so yes.
Life has been hectic. Work is absolutely bonkers, and that's basically it. I mean, I did get a big box of figures right before Joe Fest that I put off talking about, and I'm going to put off talking about again because part of what was in that box is for a future episode.
Well, what about the part that's not for that future episode? Is there anything in there that's going to knock the old socks off, curl the old toes?
There's some really good stuff in there, but honestly, I don't remember because my brain is fried from working. The only thing I do remember is I got the club's keel haul, and Nicole is very much in love with that figure. I was on the fence about it when I got it. I got it just because I was able to work it into this big lot deal, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to hold on to him or keep him. And I didn't have a choice once the box came in. It's here to stay. Nicole has claimed Keel Hall as her own.
Why has she claimed Keel Hall? I mean, is there just a jauntiness to the figure that she's...
My guess is that he kind of looks... I mean, he looks like just a normal guy. He doesn't look necessarily too military besides his cap.
Sure.
My guess is that he kind of reminds me of the old core figures that were like construction workers and like normal civilians. And Nicole had a few sets of those when she was a kid that she really liked. That's my guess. I have no hard facts to back that up, but that's my guess.
But essentially, that's not your figure anymore. That's her figure now.
Yeah, it's in the room. It's in my room, but he will not be leaving this house unless she takes him somewhere. In a non-G.I. Joe recent get, I often pump up the brand Schleich, and I often talk about how their stuff is like a very, very high-quality toy. I mean, they're most known for the animal figurines, but I have praised their vehicles on here before.
I have an entire phone full of pictures of Schleich. You are not kidding about your praise for this toy line.
They have this big rig truck that's marketed in their like wildlife slash safari styling or sub brand, and essentially it's like a little semi. It's got a container on the back that slides off, and it has a crane on top, and the container opens up. Is a very primitive animal rescue station. It's got back doors, the whole side opens up, but the quality on these toys, I just have to throw it out there one more time. Like, we're talking rubber tires, just heavy duty plastic. They are a bit on the pricier side, but they're worth the money. I've been trying to get you to grab one of the Jeeps because it's what I imagine is very reminiscent of opening up either a Vamp or an Awestriker and piecing it together. So I ordered the big rig. It came in. It is everything I want it to be. I did have to do some alterations. I got to use the Dremel that I believe I talked about buying a few months ago for the first time. I had to Dremel out basically where the feet would go of the figure. If you were using O-ring figures, the figures would fit perfectly, but with a modern figure, it's just that little bit too tight, so the figure doesn't really sit on the seat properly. It took me about 4 minutes with a Dremel to just carve that out. And then I immediately turned around and they introduced essentially their version of like a Fang helicopter. I immediately bought that. I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping to kind of pull together a little shoot with some Adventure Team guys before the weather turns to crap. Time is counting down because it is October and I've got like another month before it's like unbearable outside. So I think that's about everything I've gotten. So to bring it back to a G.I. Joe topic, but not in a physical format, I downloaded Stitcher again on my phone to listen to a podcast outside of our community. And it reminded me of the 2014 Joe Declassified podcast that I listened to in 2014. I'm going to hopefully re-dive back in. There's only a handful of episodes, but I cannot recommend that show enough.
So what is it then?
So it is a handful of the Declassified guys. I don't remember their names. The only guy I really remember is Gary Goggles, who passed away a few years ago. But I believe they have a pretty lengthy interview with Guy Cassaday. They basically just talk about the same stuff that they would bring to a booth. And then some stuff that I believe they talk about, a Cobra Island playset that had basic drawings and was trying to be sold to the Hasbro team, but never made it.
That would have been incredible. I think an Island playset would have gone over like madness.
If I remember correctly, it was designed to basically fold up into like almost like a giant egg shape. So you could contain the entire playset within itself.
Kind of like the 92 base.
Yes. So if anybody wants to find this show, you need to go to Stitcher and you need to type in Joe Declassified Spec Ops.
It is not on Pocket Casts, which is what I use.
It is not on iTunes. It is strictly on Stitcher, from what I can tell.
Okay.
If you download the Stitcher app, even if you just use it to listen to these episodes, then delete the app. It is 100% worth it.
I might have to do that.
That has been me rambling about various amounts of things. I know that you actually went out and did something last weekend.
You make it sound a lot bigger than it was. I hadn't been to Evansville, Indiana in a few years. Went up over the weekend. In my normal routine while I'm in Evansville, I will hit all the nerd spots, just kind of make my way through town. It's not a huge town. It doesn't take all day, but it's a nice way to spend an afternoon. There's a couple shops there that are great. For toys, there's Secret Headquarters for comics and toys and role-playing games. There's Comic Quest. And then as a gaming shop, the Gaming Guild. So I hit all three of those. I used to hit this Toys R Us every time I was there. Just out of curiosity, I drove past it and it was a vendor mall. So I was super excited. You and I were on the phone the whole time I was in that mall. There were a couple vintage toys, but it was mostly wrestling or Hot Wheels. Nothing for me. There were used to be a few more toy and comic shops that I would hit, but they're just not there anymore. Aside from that, kind of the big things I've been doing a lot lately is that I'm back into a West End Games D6 Star Wars role-playing game, which I don't know if you've ever messed with anything like that before.
No, I have always had like a small interest in diving into that because I feel like it would be a lot of fun. I just have not had any connections to get into that and or time.
For you, time is probably going to be the biggest part because in terms of connections, it's no longer relegated to rolling over to your buddy's house and spending all Saturday night because we have Skype, Discord, Zencaster, like people are playing to the point where Hasbro did like a 2-hour thing during PulseCon. Role-playing games are evidently big business again. but D6 Star Wars was like 87 to 96 or 97. So it's an old game. It's not being produced anymore. I just like throwing dice, so it's been fun to get back into that saddle. Sort of in that same vein, the newest Dresden Files book came out, and so I've buried myself in that. And have you ever heard of Dresden Files?
No.
Sort of the lead-off premise is that Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden is a private detective and a wizard in modern Chicago.
Okay.
In the beginning, he often takes roles as a police consultant on weird cases, which amounts to him being a private detective that solves supernatural crimes. The first couple books are kind of dry. By the third and fourth book, it's really catching stride. I think the 19th book just got published. It's a lot of book. There's also some comics. They also made a role-playing game out of it with the Fate system, which I know doesn't mean anything to you. But a couple years ago, Evil Hat did a Kickstarter to do a condensed version of the Fate rules. So one of the things I picked up in Evansville was the Dresden Files Fate Accelerated. And I'm reading through that to see if it's a viable game for some friends. I know you don't have time to read novels. I still recommend Dresden Files as one of like the top five novel series, in my opinion. Those are just sort of the highlights before we get into the big topic that, you know, everybody's already talked about. We're just sort of throwing our two coppers into that pot. Before we do that, I don't know what he's talked about because I haven't done the edit yet and I wasn't in the room to listen, but let's give A chance to return to Order of Battle.
You would have watched Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Marvel, HeroQuest, D&D, so much stuff. But I'm only going to talk about G.I. Joe and Marvel. But I'm going to start with G.I. Joe. There's now a Zartan, Firefly, there's a Viper, and another Trooper. That's really all I know about it, and if you like the retro line, I do not. They kept on calling it 3 3/4. That is 4 inch. If you watched Marvel, there will be some new releases, one that's never come out before, and some more stuff. I watched that in the car while we were going to my second topic, the weekend in Evansville. So I got to hang out with my cousins. I got a little more into Pokemon by watching Pokemon Journey. I brought two masked vehicles to play with. One was the Detonator, and the other one is the Fire Force. And, update for us hunting for Baroness and Trooper. No Trooper, no Baroness. Some books I've been reading. Harry Potter. I have already finished the Goblet of Fire, which means I am on book 5 of Harry Potter, the biggest and longest book, and I am not having someone read this to me. I am reading them myself. My third grade teacher, she read us The One Only Ivan, and when we get back from break, I bet she's going to read us The One Only Bob, which I am on page 8 of. If you watched Legend of Korra cartoon, which is after Avatar The Last Airbender, you would know some stuff that would lead right into The Legend of Korra, Ruins of the Empire. That's the first trade. So that's all I have to say for this episode of Order of Battle. I hope I'm going to be on the next episode. It depends. Bye.
You and I are both premium members. We bit the bullet. We paid the money.
Well, kind of.
A year ago, you and I split a premium membership. At first, it seemed like it was really going to be worth it because it gave me an opportunity to pre-order Wave 1 of Classified for an hour before they went public.
And then it became useless.
And then it became legitimately nothing because every other G.I. Joe and toy reveal got dropped to us at the same time and everybody was able to buy it at the same time. And then PulseCon rolls around and they sent out an email and gave everybody an opportunity to sign up if they wanted to have a chance to get the figures on Wednesday.
And the difference here was that for Toy Fair, everything was a limit of two, which worked out. One for you, one for me. With this, Fancy Pants Cobra Commander was a limit of one.
All of the exclusives were a limit of one, and then we found out everything else was also a limit of one.
For me, that was simply Fancy Pants Commander, but you had other things to...
Yeah, I wanted the Ghostbuster set because I collected, which I don't think I've actually talked about, but I grabbed all of the Plasma Series Ghostbusters figures. Part of the reason I grabbed those is because I spent weeks looking for G.I. Joe Classified and found nothing. And eventually I said, screw it. And I bought all of the Ghostbusters because I will not be trying to pose them and take pictures. They're going to be awesome to display on my movie shelf next to the Ghostbusters DVDs. There was a Ghostbusters set, Cobra Commander. I went in for the Star Wars Wampa, which I'm going to attempt to mix in with my adventure team.
Okay, perfect.
I wound up ordering the big Transformers set for a buddy of mine because his kid is obsessed with Transformers. You know, I know you ordered a couple of hats and a couple of t-shirts. I passed on those.
I did. I ordered the PulseCon hats and the PulseCon t-shirts. After the G.I. Joe thing, I ordered the Destro shirts because the shirts they announced in March finally became available to buy.
So let's use this to roll into PulseCon itself. They announced a preview, which turned out to kind of just be a preview from one thing that is way into your wheelhouse, so...
Which I was totally into. I was of two minds. Like, I was disappointed because I thought the preview was going to be more of a preview of what was coming during PulseCon. Going to be some cool stuff, some flash and pizzazz. It was a sales pitch for HasLab doing Heroes Quest, which annoyed the hell out of me at first because, again, it's a Kickstarter model for a 100-year-old multi-billion-dollar business. But you know I'm going to back Hero Quest. I played in high school. I don't know where my copy went to. It's been gone for decades. All the problems with the original Hero Quest in terms of like the cardboard, everything, they're all models now. Model doors, model sarcophagi, the whole nine. The characters look cool. I don't know, man. It's cool looking. I threw my 150 at that because that was the larger of the two HasLab tiers. I think their goal was $1 million, which floored me at first, but a lot less now that a week and a half later, they're at 1.8 million. That was lovely for me, but honestly, I didn't think it should have been qualified as a preview so much as it should have just been like the HasLab kickoff.
I'm excited for anything that people want. I was just more frustrated with the way it was pitched because I took my lunch break, I sat down, I got my lunchbox out, got my phone propped up. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then 15, 20 minutes goes by and they're like, all right, thanks for tuning in. And I was just like, okay, well, this is cool and everything, but thanks.
I think what made that even sting more is Friday when they kicked off, it started with Magic. I didn't watch all that. I don't care about Magic the Gathering. I haven't cared about it since 1996. But they followed that up with Heroes Quest. You know, you had a preview and then your second panel of Go Time is Hero Quest, which they followed up then with Dungeons & Dragons, which was super long. I like D&D. I haven't played it in years. I just got finished telling you like I'm playing other role-playing games. I didn't realize that it's such a big thing for Hasbro that they put 2 hours into it and brought in like Matthew Lillard. His whole Beetle and Grimm model is mind-blowing and I want to look more into it, but I also don't want to spend $500 on a campaign material. And then like Joe Manganiello, like we've been hearing for him for a couple of years about how into D&D he is. But for him to be part of Heroes Quest and the D&D panels was, I thought it was a lot of fun.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the photo of the figure they revealed. And seeing a 6-inch scaled animal companion with articulation has got me feeling very positive about seeing 6-inch scale articulated animals in the classified line.
Yeah, Dritz and his panther. That was a very cool reveal. I did not pre-order it.
Me either.
Even though I've read the novels years ago, I'm more than aware of Dritz. I'm hugely excited to see them release the figure. It didn't really, I don't know, it would have ended up being just like the Star Wars Black Series. They would have been in with the 6-inch figures, but they're not getting the play. I mean, I guess he could have been another ninja for A, I don't know. But the Panther made me hopeful for a Timber. It just did.
I think I would have honestly pre-ordered it, but all of these pre-orders at once is just insanely overwhelming.
A little bit. After that was Star Wars, which I was working. I didn't get a chance to watch all of Star Wars. I didn't care to watch all of Star Wars because I don't collect Star Wars. I do need a Cad Bane. I do need an Ahsoka just for my like Rebels run. And also Cad Bane is a badass. But they didn't announce Cad Bane with PulseCon. They announced him. Later on, out of nowhere, I got an email. I logged in 10 minutes later, it was gone. They also announced a second HasLab of the Razor Crest, which was looking cool.
I watched most of the Star Wars. I kind of just would set my phone on a windowsill in a room I was working at, and I had it playing in my headphones, and I was like coding walls, and I'd look over. If they said something that I wanted to see, I would run over and look at it. I gotta say, like, what the hell is going on with the Holiday Troopers?
Those were the best thing of PulseCon. I don't understand. I'm confused. That was genuinely the hottest items of the 2020 holiday season.
On that note, let's roll into Saturday.
I was up bright and bushy-tailed, ready for the G.I. Joe panel. And what a way to kick it off.
So I was working, and I knew what time it was coming, and I had told my coworker, I said, hey, I'm taking coffee break at 10:05. I said, you're more than welcome to join me. I got a panel to watch. I'm going to sit in my car. If you don't want to come in, no hard feelings, whatever. Like, he's been dabbling into collecting some NECA horror figures, so he's interested in toys on a small level, and he's just interested because he hears me talk. Like, him and I talk about all this shit all the time. The G.I. Joe panel was a very exciting and heartbreaking for me. It was a bit of a roller coaster. Let's walk past classified for a second and talk about retro.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Yes. This is like a festering wound in my side.
There's a lot of frustration in the second half of that panel. Yes.
You know, I don't need to just repeat what everybody else says, but I am a 4-inch diehard. I buy 4-inch lines that aren't G.I. Joe to mix in, whatever. I don't need to do all this again. First and foremost, I'm going to say something I never thought I would ever say on a recorded podcast. Can we just get somebody on this brand who gives a shit? We rolled off of an exhilarating, passionate, amazing classified first half of the panel, and then you just took a knife and you just stabbed the balloon and I think it's absolutely bonkers that their big reveal are figures that are showing up in Walmart 2 weeks ago on the West Coast. You're revealing figures that are all over the internet at retail, not leaked photos. I'm talking people who walked into Walmart, pulled them off the pegs, and posted them on his tank.
That's a little disappointing that they're announcing something after it's already in stores.
Well, it's not supposed to be in stores, and it's not at mass retail yet. But like what I'm saying is people in California have found them in Walmart and are already selling them on the secondary market before PulseCon.
For me, it looked like Mark got his ass kicked over Wave 1's card art versus figure disconnect, because all three of these figures at least look like their card art. Roblox's 6-inch face at a 4-inch I thought was awesome. I thought his gear looked great, but his legs look way too thin, which is also what I've thought about most of the modern Roblox's that I have, except for maybe the Tiger Force one.
The legs on that figure are absolute trash. They're single knee, no ankle articulation. It's a repaint of a Retaliation Roblox figure. if they just swapped the legs would be fine. The thing that's frustrating, just Google unreleased Retaliation Ultimate like holiday set. It'll take you to his tank. And there's an unreleased roadblock that uses a Retaliation Ultimate roadblock buck, which is what they used for the Renegades from the Revolution box set.
Which is a great looking figure. I don't know, in terms of your perspective, I don't know how it looks, but from my perspective, it's gorgeous.
I love that figure. It is a beautiful figure. I'm stoked to have the classified head shrunk down to a 4-inch scale.
Oh, I thought that was gorgeous. That is the thing that excited me.
Me too. I am genuinely beyond excited to get a new 4-inch head. All I'll say is if Mark would have just done a little bit of research, the figure was already put together. All he had to do was just send the files to China or wherever these figures are being manufactured.
There's a lot of disappointment in there, but the main frustrating thing, like, you already knew these figures, I didn't. So when they were going to announce Scarlet, they did the whole Sky Striker lead in, and I was on the edge of my seat. I was so excited for a Sky Striker, and we got a goofy looking Scarlet. I mean, the face looks great, but honestly, I could really use a more modern looking Scarlet without a crossbow. I may be the minority. Regardless, that's not the point. The point is that I truly was like bouncing up and down, excited that they were going to announce a Sky Striker as the vehicle for this wave. And that's my own fault for, I guess, not keeping up with the news before the news. Everything else about it was a disappointment to me.
I have to say, when he held the Fang up, immediately something looked off to me, and I could not wrap my head around it. And then I realized, 30 seconds later in, I'm like, that's not the Fang. Like, this is a new Fang. 2 weeks ago, we were at Joe Fest. I was at the toy department booth, and they had 3 or 4 25th anniversary Fangs loose for a bananas good deal. I knew that the Fang was coming in wave 2 of the retro. So I did not buy these Fangs because I was like, I can use the money I have here to buy something I won't be able to get at retail. Which those Fangs would have been something that I can't get at retail. So I'm not crazy about the new Fang. I agree with you. I think it looks like a knockoff that has been painted in G.I. Joe colors. To turn this into a bit of a positive thing, and then we need to immediately walk away from this and get into classified. The 4-inch figure that is coming with the Fang is completely new 4-inch tooling for G.I. Joe head to toe.
You sure about that?
Yes. Mark announced that it was all new sculpting, but he also kind of said that about Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow when they revealed the retro line Wave 1. So I took it with a grain of salt. At first, I texted you, and I was like, yeah, it looks like they used the 25th anniversary blowtorch face mask for the pilot. And I was like, I was hoping I'd never see that tooling again. But later in the day, when the high-definition detail photos were posted by Hasbro, it's a brand new head sculpt. It's a brand new figure head to toe. It has new articulation. Now, I'm going to throw a speculation out. I have no inside information. I have nothing. It looks like a scaled-down classified figure. It has a thigh cut. I can only go by the images. It looks like it has a cut at the top of the boot. It looks like it no longer has a metal T-bar from this photo. I'm zooming into the photo they posted. It looks like a classified figure shrunk down. Now, what worries me about that is, well, number one, is the vest removable? And underneath that vest, do we have an ab crunch? Does it have the ball and socket waist joint that these new G.I. Joes have? None of us will know until somebody gets the figure and posts an in-depth review or photos. What is very exciting to me, even though I'm not 100% sold on the item as a whole, is this is 100% new tooling on an item in the retro line. That leaves me hopeful that Wave 3 of the retro line will have maybe some more repacks and a couple of actually new items like this. I don't know with technology if they can use the same sculpts for both 6 and 4-inch. Like, I don't know if they just shrink the files. I have no idea. But if they can do that, maybe this Fang is a 6-inch Fang? Who knows? I have no idea. But I'm saying if they could shrink down the head for Roadblock, and if this figure is just a shrunken down future release of a classified Fang pilot and Fang copter, that would be cool. I have no idea if that's real or if that's just me living in the Willy Wonka factory. Let's talk about classified, because this panel was awesome.
Zartan is beautiful. Firefly was gorgeous. The Vipers were gorgeous. Legitimately, for me, Zartan and the Vipers are a little too conservative, and I would like them to push the envelope a little bit more. And honestly, this is strictly my opinion, but if you have a 6-inch line that's completely new, never been done, and you have a retro line, and you have a community that wants continued reiteration and reiteration and reiteration of 38 years ago, use the retro line to make your vintage accurate modern stuff, and then use the 6-inch to push the envelope. That's my opinion. That's not a negative opinion. That's my wish list. No matter what, Zartan was, I mean, all four of these people, but I guess the infantry we're already aware of from Target, but these things were smash. I don't have anything negative to say about their sculpts, their looks, their anything about the figures personally.
I echo that. I mean, I also agree with you on the Viper and Zartan, which the Viper is my favorite army builder, and Zartan is one of my favorite characters. I love how they look in this classified line, but I would have liked to see just something, you know, a little bit more redesigned. Exactly what you just said. But when they showed Zartan, I should get my coworker on here for him to tell you. I was literally screaming in the car. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Yes. When they showed the Viper and Firefly, it was the same thing. And then the really unfortunate thing was when they, you know, said that Firefly and Viper were Target exclusives, the pendulum swung very hard.
Oh, man. That took the wind out of everybody's sails. I mean, that's not even a negative comment anymore. That's just
fact at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough time for this next week for me to talk about how excited I am about how much they've pushed Firefly.
Yeah, I thought Firefly was great. I really liked the look of him. The fact that they were going over details like he has a broken nose and stuff like that on the face sculpt, it speaks a lot to the ability of 3D modeling. Wow.
And even past the broken nose, that they talk about how his balaclava has like scorch marks on it and his skin is a little bit like, it's like, that figure looks so cool. And I just love the idea of Firefly wearing a bomb vest, because let's face it, he's creeping into places he's not supposed to be. He's making explosives on the fly. He's bound to have hiccups.
I can see both sides of the bomb vest, where you want a figure that's lithe and ninja and stealthy, and you want somebody who doesn't have to worry about all those things because he was in the building 2 weeks ago and he's wearing the vest because he's working. I would love to see that vest come on and off, but I don't see any negatives with the vest. I like it. I like it a lot.
I also love the goggles with the
so good
with the little antenna, like that little bit of sci-fi stuff. All I can imagine is he's seeing through the drone with those goggles on.
That's very good.
I love that the drone hooks to the backpack. That's been like one of the biggest strong points for the classified line for me, is that these figures, for the most part, can contain all of their equipment. The Red Ninja, I mean, holy crap. He is a walking arsenal. He can hold every single item as long as he's holding two weapons in his hands.
So far, the only thing that I haven't liked in the 6-inch line are the two crossbows.
I agree. I would like to see the stop of two-piece crossbows, because they never stay together. There's one in the 25th line that stays together that came with the Night Creepers. But other than that, all of the 25th style crossbows fall apart. Scarlet's crossbow falls apart.
Well, Beachhead has a one-piece crossbow, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, me either.
We all have wish lists, and the only thing I truly don't like so far are the two crossbows. Everything else, without making a single change, I'm in. I love it. After all of that, the Target side of the 6-inch was, to me, the only real negative of that half of the thing. I really appreciate Lenny and where he's at with the 6-inch, but this Target stuff is so disappointing. I know neither of us were able to order from Target because Target didn't even show them on our 6 active devices until 13 and 26 minutes after the hour. They were well and sold out by then. And even with the first wave of Target exclusives, if you look on Target today, you can order Roadblock for delivery, but you can't order any of the others. So it's like they're not even playing by the same rules within the toy line. So everybody's already bitched about Target. I don't have anything else to say about it. More importantly, they did a tribute to Hector Garrido.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was beautiful. Maybe even a little tear-jerking at times. It was so good to see him honored by Hasbro, not just this community. And I mean, this community loves Garrido. I see his name thrown around a lot. We all talk about his artwork. We all talk about the magic of seeing the art on the shelves, which led us to the figures on the shelves. I don't know if you noticed, Anthony had a gold head patch pinned to his shirt. That's a real solid flex.
I noticed.
In terms of, yeah, I'm working on the brand. Bruh, I am a fan. That's a hard flex.
I noticed immediately and have been waiting to talk about this until this moment because it was obvious. I mean, it stuck out on his shoulder like a sore thumb. You know what I mean? It was, yeah, as soon as he rolled onto the screen, I was like, this is awesome. He's got a freaking Steel Brigade patch on his shoulder.
Well, and not just any Steel Brigade. I mean, that was a gold head. So immediately, like, my phone is blowing up with everybody like, is that a real gold head? Maybe that's a regular Steel Brigade and the light's weird, but I appreciate him representing in that way. That was a signal flare to all of us. The Joe brand is in good hands. People working on the brand give a damn about the brand. Not necessarily everyone, but by and large, that was huge signaling to the community. And I certainly took notice and loved it.
If you look at the classified line as a whole, there's tons of love for G.I. Joe on that line.
Absolutely.
Number one, they're pushing it insanely hard, as they should, because they're relaunching G.I. Joe on a new scale for the first time that seems to be successful. I mean, it is successful. Everything sold out. There's a ton of love in this line. What's more playable than having Gung Ho be able to have one gun in his hands, two guns slung on his backpack? Or the Red Ninja fully geared up? The Cobra Trooper. The fact that they're like, yeah, we understand it's an army builder, so we've added an extra porthole on the back so you can have a different silhouette on your shelf. I'm here for it. I'm down. I pre-ordered as many as I could get from Hasbro Pulse website, and then I immediately went to Big Bad Toy Store and ordered 5 more.
I did the same. I had 2 orders going on 2 different devices, and one of them spun for 34 minutes before finally showing up as sold out, and one of them went through. I had 3 devices in front of me. You and Nicole had 3 devices. I had 2 other people on my phone who had 2 and 3 devices each. All of us had the same problem with Target, so we all focused on Hasbro because Target shit the bed. And even Hasbro was hurting with how many people were buying. I clearly am not in the toy industry. I clearly am not in manufacturing, and maybe this is a comment of ignorance. But it truly baffles me why a pre-sell has a limited number and instead isn't given a limited time. It just feels like Hasbro and Target and everyone else leaves a lot of money on the table when they give a limited number of pre-orders to 100 instead of saying 30 minutes, as much as you want to buy. And especially when you see all the complaints from not just the community, but from A, who cannot find these on the toy shelf. So these aren't for kids because they're never hitting the shelves, or they're not hitting the shelves long enough because all the adult collectors weren't able to order in mass. But if you think about, like, if they gave us 30 minutes to order instead of a limited number, how many troopers would you have ordered straight from Hasbro, and how many troopers would you have ordered straight from Target in that first, say, 30 minutes?
Oh, probably 10 and 10.
Exact same. 100% same. But as is, they got my money for one. Big Bad Toy Store got my money for five more, which, I mean, you know, that money goes back to Hasbro, but at a different rate because there's a reseller's rate. And Target, yeah, I mean, they sold out all of what they had, but now they have to ignore thousands of us screaming and yelling about not being able to buy their damn thing. And it would completely get rid of the whole problematic thing we're seeing where troopers are $125 on eBay right now. Which, not on your fucking life.
Yeah. The only thing I can compare this to is like pre-ordering records when bands drop records. But generally, what that boils down to is they're already in production. So when you pre-order the record, they're like, all right, well, in a month, it's going to ship. You know, we pressed 3,000 records, X on this color, X on this color, X on this color.
What you're talking about is...
small run.
Small run within 3 to 4 weeks. You're not talking about a 100-year-old multi-billion dollar business.
Yeah.
Who has an 8-month lead.
That's what I was going to say is they're talking about March or June of 2021. I'm going to say the same thing you said. Why not say, hey, you got 30 minutes, even if it was a year wait time. I mean, I throw in money on a Kickstarter. I would gladly buy 10 Cobra Troopers directly from Hasbro at their price, and they can ship them to me. I'll wait the extra couple months to just not have to have my laptop open, two iPhones going, and then refresh, jumping from site to site to site. If I didn't have the two devices going, I wouldn't have got anything from Hasbro Pulse because my computer timed out and I retried on my phone three times before it went through within the first 2 minutes. You know, by 5:02, I got my only order in through Hasbro. And then I immediately just ran to Big Bad Toy Store and texted you and said, hit BBTS because you can get them right now.
We could keep going down this road for a while, especially when you consider the stuff that I ordered in May and in June and in July from Hasbro has been in stores but hasn't shown up in my house. So there's a laundry list of things I can complain about. Ultimately, I loved the look of the 6-inch stuff. I loved HeroQuest. I loved the D&D panels, even though I'm not actively a D&D player. Definitely gave me a lot to think about and chew on. For a lot of people, and I don't collect Star Wars, you don't collect Star Wars, but I think for a lot of people, that Razor Crest was the highlight of PulseCon. And a week later, they're at 9,200 backers. When I was talking about HeroQuest wanting $1 million to back, thinking that was insane, I thought it was insane because they gave a dollar number. But 9,200 backers for the Razor Crest at $350 a piece? So they're already at 3.2 million. What about for you? Have you backed the Razor Crest?
I have not, but I am going to. You nailed it. I don't collect Star Wars, but I do love toys. So I follow tons of toy blogs that aren't lines that I even care about. I saw a rumored post that said Razor Crest $349.99. At that price point, I know that it's going to be a mega vehicle because they have that Smuggler's Run Millennium Falcon that is huge and comes loaded with accessories. And from everything I understand, is like an amazing toy. I don't own it. I'm not going to drop $400 on it because I about a decade too late to start collecting Star Wars vintage series in a complete setting. That being said, I said to you last week in passing, you know, I think I might get that Razor Crest. I was like, but I wonder if it's going to be like a pre-order or if it's going to be, you know, a store exclusive, a Galaxy's Edge exclusive, whatever. It's like, man, it would kind of be cool if that was a HasLab because that would guarantee that the amount of detail in this is going to be based for us as adult collectors and not just a massive playset toy.
It also means that everyone can get one instead of fighting the 2-minute clock.
Yes. Also, I'm so excited that it was announced as HasLab because that means I know exactly when I need to have this $350.
That is true. I haven't pre-ordered it either. I really, really want to. Just looking at that weapons locker was, whew, but I still haven't opened the katana. I have Jabba's Sail Barge still in the mailer box that it came in. I've never even cut the tape. I've never opened it. I've never looked at it, which I know is silly. I should probably sell it, but I keep sitting on it like one day. I've had it for 2 years. I've not touched the tape. That is the justification I use to not order Unicron and Cookie Monster, which I know failed. But I mean, Cookie Monster, come on. and the justification I used to not order the Sentinel, which, ooh, you want to talk about D&D? Like, I barely made my save roll in not ordering that. I think if JoeFest hadn't have been happening right at the same time, I would have ordered that Sentinel, even though I knew I probably shouldn't. Got a buddy who ordered 5. I ordered 0. I want to see when he gets his set up.
That is exactly why I did not buy the Sentinel. I had the Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure Sentinel and the Marvel Universe Sentinel that I easily could have worked into my extended G.I. Joe universe. When they announced that Sentinel and how big it was and how, you know, all the extra articulation and everything, legitimately, two things held me back from buying it. Number one, JoeFest, and number two was the massive amount of club figures that I bought from someone right before JoeFest. Like, I mean, I could have pulled money out of my JoeFest money to buy it, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But the only thing that stopped me from buying the Sentinel was JoeFest.
You know, I really thought, like, a couple Sentinels would be awesome. You could customize one like Cobra or Iron Grenadiers or Star Wars or anything. I mean, that it's a giant robot. It fits everywhere. Just having one would have been amazing, but I passed. And now the Razor Crest is in front of me. I keep telling myself, just walk away. But every day I go and look at the pictures, which is why I know it's up to 9,200 backers today.
I'm going to try and do a small focus collection on everything that is tied to the Razor Crest within the Star Wars Vintage Collection. I actually just got the Vintage Collection Mandalorian in the mail this past weekend. I was finally able to find him at retail price. So I got him in the mail. I know this one, I know the Razor Crest comes in an exclusive, and they already said that there's plans for, you know, version 2 Mandalorian within the main line. They did the carbonized version as part of that Mando Monday thing. I want this Razor Crest because it is an amazing piece of toy. It is big. It is insanely detailed. I try to compare it to, like, if we got a standard retail released Razor Crest, it would probably be somewhere between $90 and $150, and it would be nothing compared to this.
So officially, you know, I'm hungry for it, and I'm staring at it, but I'm not going to pull the trigger today. I have some other things coming up first. Some adult purchases first, but also some fun, not adult purchases that are sort of sitting in the wings. So we'll see what happens. I've wound down from PulseCon. I don't know if you have anything else left in that tank.
No, I mean, I just want to throw this out there. Like, I really don't like complaining about stuff.
Generally, it's not a good look. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
As two guys that are extremely passionate about G.I. Joe, even within two different styles of G.I. Joe, we, you know, whatever, we bond, we hang out, whatever. But, like, it's crazy to see so much passion and so much passiveness within the same company on the same toy line within two different scales. That being said, G.I. Joe is just running forward with blazing speeds. People across the board are hunting down these classified figures, whether they're Marvel guys or Star Wars guys. Like, I could not be happier to have this stuff and, like, to have the event. You know, even with us complaining about the pre-order stuff, kind of cool that it's a fight to get the G.I. Joe stuff from HasbroPulse.com. I can't wait for the next announcement. I'm sure it'll be soon, because we didn't see, kind of something I wanted to mention earlier, but I forgot. We didn't see any G.I. Joe reveals. It was all Cobra in terms of classified.
That's true.
Or Cobra / Dreadnought. No good guys.
Between that and the movie and everything else, it's a good time to be a Joe collector. It's a good time to be a Joe fan, even with the small annoyances. Speaking of being a Joe fan and being a good time to be a Joe fan, our buddies Roger and Josh with After Action Report, they're at 82% with 12 days to go. When this is released, I think they'll have 7 days to go, maybe 8. Math. That's 18% that they need. And they need us, this community, to push that 18%. I cannot stress enough how much I want this book, which is why I keep bringing it up every episode. It's why I've brought it up on Facebook and Twitter. since speaking to them at Joe Fest, I really want this book to happen. When this episode goes out, it'll be 7 or 8 days, and they'll be more than 82%. And I know that Kickstarters always lag in the middle, and in that last week, I'm sure they'll make it, but I throw the call out now. It's not like HasLab. Backing it today doesn't go on your credit card, not until it finishes. You do not get charged until it finishes. Go look for our After Action Report on Kickstarter. Back it. These guys worked on Yojo. These guys have been part of the community for years and years and years. And the reference guide is really cool sounding. That was a very long commercial for them that they didn't ask for. I'm just really damn excited about this book. We have, in November, Assembly Required is doing a digital thing. I think it's, what is it, November 7th, I think?
Yes.
That they're doing their digital convention. If you go over to Codename Iowa, you can purchase their digital packs. I can't remember what their costs were. I ordered the big one. And then that same weekend, 7th and 8th, Roma and Toy Department are doing like a pop-up store right outside of Cincinnati, like on the northeast side of Cincinnati. I'm hoping that you and I can go and be there for that.
I plan on it.
I would love to throw the items that I forgot to bring you at Joe Fest into the car and take them up there. I'm out of gas. You got anything for us, or should we call it here?
I got one thing to plug, and then I am definitely ready to pull the plug.
Well, you let us know when it's time to kill it.
So Word Burglar is running a crowdfund to get Welcome to Cobra Island pressed on vinyl.
I like that album.
This is an interesting thing because it is my three main hobbies combined into one. You have an independent music artist, which I am also. You have vinyl records. And you have toys, specifically G.I. Joe. I'm obviously in for Welcome to Cobra Island. You know, I'm in for After Action Report. I believe Cobra Island is already funded, but it's still running. You can still order it. Even if you aren't into vinyl or whatever, this is a passionate G.I. Joe fan who is putting out, not only putting out G.I. Joe-based content, but is also just a force of positivity within our community, which is gratefully needed. That's enough. I'm in. You should think about it. The artwork is enough. You know, it's $20. You can just hang it on your wall. The artwork's awesome. That being said, let's get out of here.
Thanks for joining us again. We enjoy doing this, but we enjoy it more when you share your journey with us. To do that, you can reach out to us through Gmail at orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. On Twitter, it's @OrderOfBattlePD. And on Instagram, it's @OrderOfBattlePod. Let us know what you thought about PulseCon. If you got any of the orders, did you get any of the targets? Where's your collection at today and where's it going? Are you in for an After Action Report? Are you in for a Welcome to Cobra Island? We'll see you back here soon. Thank you as always. This has been the Order of Battle.
Take 17.
Try again.